since I believe the Lord has laid on my heart. Luke's Gospel and chapter 22. And reading from verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Luke chapter 22 and verse 7. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, 'The master said unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room, furnished. There make ready." And they went and found as he had said unto them. And they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves." I want to speak on the guest chamber. The guest chamber. We want to look at this guest chamber was in Jerusalem. The Lord was about to be crucified and the Passover was to be celebrated. You could imagine the hustle and bustle that was going on for this preparation. Because even up to today, you find the Jewish people have so much cleaning to do. Put away certain utensils and plates and stuff and replace them with other things. We had a neighbor lived across the street from us. And when it was Passover time, all his children will come from various areas of America. And they will just celebrate together this occasion. In the busyness of life, in the hustle and bustle of this world, you think of it like being in America. No matter what time it is, there's people on the road in America. There's certain countries you go in and you visit. When you see 8 o'clock and you don't catch a bus or a taxi, you might have to walk home. Not in America. Things are open 24 hours. You cannot go hungry. Everything is there. And picture these individuals. The Lord Jesus sent Peter and John to prepare this place for him. And the Lord gave them specific instructions. You go and you will see a man bearing a pitcher. Now in those days, men don't handle carrying water for home. It's either it's a woman's job or a slave. So this was something peculiar for them. I don't want to, yes, we could apply this, the man carrying the pitcher as the Spirit of God. But I want to make another application. He is carrying refreshment. And here he's with this, what is refreshing in this busy commercial situation. And everyone seeking his own interest and seeking to bring indeed and to make everything in place for this feast. There was an individual who was doing his master's bidding. And it's difficult, very difficult in the day in which we live to have the interests of the Lord before us. Because in the apostles' day, when he was going off the scene, he turned to Timothy and he says, "All seek their own. all of Asia turned their back upon me. And he committed to Timothy, as it were, and he says, no man like-minded like me. You know what it is for a boss to see an employee coming early and waiting at the gate for him to open the gate. And then he says, give me the key, man. You come so late. I'm here all the time. You think that boss is going to say, listen, don't come here so early, okay? I want you to come late. Yeah? No. There are certain examples that really lend rise to the affections and also to the interests of one's employer or one's lord. They went and they saw the man carrying this pitcher. It says, the house he enters in, you follow him. They followed the man. It says, when you enter in, say to the good man of the house, the master says, where is the guest chamber that is prepared? And you know, those two men move off the scene. The man bearing the pitcher and the good man of the house. You hear nothing of them anymore. The Spirit of God just, the Lord Jesus just set them aside. So what is before us is the guest chamber, the host, and the guest. Who is the host? Things were ready. It was furnished. And he says, you just go. And everything is prepared. Some have said that probably the Lord contacted the man before. Scripture is silent. I'll be silent. But what it is that my desire is to eat the Passover with you. And the host is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he? Who is he that invited these guests to have a meal with him just before he suffered? You know, saints, one of the most trying times or one of the worst experiences I had in life was they were going to hang a gentleman in St. Kitts. And they asked him, what is your request? He says he wants to see Brother Brian. Well, early in the morning, I dress up like a preacher, tie, jacket, and I went in to see him. I tell you, it was a searching experience. He accepted the Lord as his Savior before. And the morning, the judge was there. The policemen, the wardens, and we were talking. And we sang a song. We sang that hymn. He sang it, "It is well with my soul. It is well." Listen, after we had a time of prayer, I decided I am going home. I don't want to see it. And I went home. This was the night when Jesus was betrayed. And he desired to have this Passover, which represents him. And this upper room was there. But then the knowledge we have, the host is none other than God himself. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten, with the Father full of grace and truth. This was the one who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This is the one who opened the blind eyes, who caused the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. But he is beyond all of his acts. This is God himself, the Creator. And when you read John's Gospel, and you realize this one who has bid us to be guests, to be with him in this place, you realize what a privilege it is to be called to be a guest in this upper room. Now it's true, it was the 12. And this host, it's prepared, they went and see everything ready. Everything is ready. Remember in the parable of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, when he says, all things are ready, come to the marriage of his son. Luke chapter 14, All things are ready. And he sent out his servant to tell all that were bidden, come. Some make excuses. That's the gospel side. But here it is to have with his own, to spend time with his own, to have us around him, to have the disciples, the apostles around him. And everything is prepared. And it tells us, when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12. And you know what he said? With desire, have desired to partake of this Passover with you. Now this guest chamber, it tells us when Jesus rose again from the dead, they were shut in for fear of the Jews. The Lord Jesus came in their midst. John chapter 20. Came in their midst. And he says, peace be unto you. And when the disciples saw him, they were glad. They were glad. So this upper room is a place where there is gladness, brethren. Not only so, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 was an upper room. And it tells us they came together to break bread upon the first day of the week. And upon the first day of the week, it tells us after the breaking of bread, Paul was given an exhortation and he continued till midnight. And while he was preaching, here Eutychus was falling asleep and boop, he dropped out the window, fell down dead. And Paul went down, he says he's dead. And Paul went down, fell on him and presented him alive. What was the message the apostle Paul was preaching? The scripture don't tell us what it was. But it got to be something that really lent rise to the life of this young man. That this one that we came to remember, he is alive. He's alive. And he's in the power of an endless life. Indeed, as this, what a testimony. Indeed, to see this young man come back alive. Indeed, after the breaking of bread. But it tells us also in the book of Matthew and chapter 18, that where the twos and the threes are gathered together, there unto his name, he's in the midst of us. Brethren, you know, a brother visited a certain place and he told me, boy, that meeting is weak. You know how much brothers and sisters there? Four brothers. I says, wow, that's a real good meeting. That's a good meeting, brother. I said, how could you could say that? Four individuals? I said, brother, the scripture says, where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst of us. That's a full meeting, you know. It is the person. And as he came together to enjoy the Lord, to be with his own, that's the upper room. That's the guest chamber. The guest chamber where the host is. And know what is wonderful, brethren? Is that when you think of it, what was said in that upper room? I ponder this and I says, what was said? What was shared? When you turn to John's Gospel and chapter 13, after Judas celebrated the Passover and the Lord Jesus gave Judas the sup, your real friend Judas, when they says, one of you going to betray me. All of that took place in the upper room. One of you going to betray me. And he says, Peter says, ask who it is. And John, who leaned on Jesus' bosom, the disciple who Jesus loved, leaned on him and says, Lord, who it is? The Lord said to him, is he that dipped with me in the dish? No, the person who dipped first is a real trusted friend. The Lord tried his best to reach Judas, but Satan entered into his heart and gave him like the final nail in his coffin and says, finish the job. Finish the job. And he went out and it was night. Since after he went out, the Lord instituted the remembrance meeting. The remembrance meeting. And you know what is wonderful? After Judas went up, the Lord started to open up some things that was so wonderful, so precious to the soul. Indeed, that we all we can say
Indeed, I want to be here. Is it good for us to be here? Yes. Indeed, to be in the upper room around Christ, that we could hear indeed secrets and things that were never made known before. You know, brethren, there is three places the children of Israel celebrated the Passover: in Egypt, in the wilderness, and in the land. They celebrated in Exodus chapter 12, Numbers 9, and also in Joshua chapter 5. Now, in Egypt, the world was shut out. Shut out. In the wilderness, it was a testimony. In the land, they are shut in. Here we are shut in with him in the upper room. All the hustle and bustle, all the busy stuff, all the business, all the work, all the frustrations are put outside the door. Just like the Lord said to the two lads who was going up to Mount Moriah with Abram. He says, me and the lad is going yonder to worship. So you stay here. Stay here with the donkeys. We are going up to worship. And when we come again, we'll meet you here. Leave everything behind. We are going to the upper room. And in that upper room, I just want to highlight some things that were mentioned. Let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 31. It says in verse 29, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that he have need of against the feast, or that he should go, that he should give something to the poor. Verse 30, he then, having received the sup, went out, and it was night. After he left, this is what the Lord began to say. He says, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God shall be glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and straightway glorify him. Brethren, this is precious. You could imagine hearing this, that God will be glorified in the Son, that Calvary is going to bring so much glory to God, that God will be glorified in it, and God will glorify him because he has been glorified at Calvary. We continue. He tells them in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one towards another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? Jesus answered him, where I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, will thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. The Lord is showing Peter himself. But look at chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. This is upper room ministry. No, indeed, let not your heart be troubled. He was going away. He told them he was going away. And he puts himself as the object of faith. You believe in God? Believe also in me. Have that same confidence. Because indeed, this one has have told us about the Father's house. Never before made mention.
the Father's house. There are many abodes there. The Father's house. Since there are many families. There's the earthly family. There's the evangelical family. There's Israel. There's the nations. But there's the church. We have the most intimate place in the house. That's our place. And he's telling them this. The depths of this was not opened up fully at this time. But we will be holy, blameless before him in love. He had marked us off for blessing. He has predestinated us for that place. He has secured us indeed that we indeed will be in his presence. And you know what his prayer was? That we will be with him. That we may behold his glory. The glory thou hast given me, I have given them. I tell you, saints, it is grand to be a Christian. It's grand. He says, I want you to know these things. And there they are, shut in with Christ. And he's making known to them, listen, my presence in heaven, a man in the glory, my presence in heaven has secured a place for you there. But I'm going to Calvary to secure in you for the place. So God is saying, listen, the place is secured. Somebody think that the Lord take machete and some cement mixers and lumber and stop building something up there. Nothing like that. It's the Father's house is there already. And his presence there assures me of going there. Assures you of going there. But to get there, I cannot get there in my sinister ship. So he went to Calvary, shed his blood, indeed gave his life, laid down his life. That's why the Apostle Paul preached and says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. And he rose again from the dead. Indeed, beloved saints, the just died for the unjust to bring us to God. So now, the place is prepared. Because he's there. And I am prepared for the place because of Calvary. But then he continued. And we just tip into through these things. When Philip says, show us the Father. Verse 6, Jesus said unto him, that was Thomas, we don't know the way. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If he had known me, he should have known my Father also. From henceforth, ye know him, and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffice us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You know, beloved, chapter 1 of the book of John and verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time, but the only begotten that dwells in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, told him out. He's the brightness of his glory, the express image of his substance. He's the image of the invisible God. So when you see him, you see the Father. All of this going on in the upper room. And you know when he appeared to them, you know what it says? Did not, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Oh, what a blessing. But let us run on. Let's turn to chapter 14. We're going down. And the Lord now is explaining to them that he and the Father will come to those who really enjoy his presence. In verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, and he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, he's now in the upper room, they heard about the Holy Spirit. And brethren, to open up the truth of the Holy Spirit, it will take a couple messages. Yeah. The Lord Jesus was born of the Spirit. We also are born of the Spirit. The Lord Jesus was also anointed by the Spirit. We also anointed by the Spirit. The Lord Jesus
was sealed with the Spirit. We also are sealed with the Spirit. He was indwelt by the Spirit. We also are indwelt by the Spirit. And you see, the Spirit of God shall be in you and shall abide with you forever. I tell you, that's a tremendous blessing. And he opens up to us that the Spirit will be the teacher. The Spirit shall take the things of Christ and make it known to us. He will glorify him. He will not speak of himself. The Spirit of God is also the earliest of our inheritance. Brethren, he comes to bring a present enjoyment to us of all that we will enjoy in a day to come. So I can enjoy all the blessings of God immediately. And then ultimately, indeed realize, all has been told. But I enjoy so little. He tells them about the Spirit of God. See, when he's come, he will lead you into all truth. He will reprove this world of sin, of righteousness, judgment to come. All of this, he opened up. The last verse of chapter 14, verse 31. He says, "For that the world may know that I love the Father, and the Father giveth me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go." And they left the upper room. Brethren, that the world may know that I love the Father. You know, when you read the devotion that the man Christ Jesus have for the Father, I think Psalm 1 captures it well. He says that he meditated in the book day and night, seek to do what is written. He says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, a man of distinction. All of that is wonderful. But at Calvary, with the Lord Jesus laying down his life, no man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it back up again. He laid down his life to demonstrate, to show to this world, I love the Father. The burnt offering aspect of the death of Christ. Voluntarily laid down his life. Listen, many men can boast of many things, but when it comes to love, there is nothing in this universe that could compare with the love of the Lord Jesus for the Father. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Here I am, send me. I came to do the will of him that sent me. Not my will, but thy will be done. I always do those things that please the Father. All of this. Wouldn't you like to be there? You know, in closing, I worked for a Catholic, you know, when I had a job, secular. He was a very, very nice man. Very nice man. I believe sometimes you say, you find some Corneliuses, you know, nice chap. I don't know if he's saved. But one thing, one day, I got paid, and I saw a lot of money in my paycheck. So I said to him, I called him, I said, Richie, I saw a raise in my pay. He said, yes. I says, wow, I was so happy. I says, thank you, man. But you see, we worked together in twos. So I went to my partner, Lou, and I said to Lou, boy, I get a raise. Open your paycheck and see what you get there. Lou had the same money. Well, Lou is not a Christian, and I tell you, he behaves so badly. So I says, no, I think Richie made a mistake. He made a mistake. So I went back by Richie. I said, Richie, listen, take that money out my paycheck, and you go and tell Lou you made a mistake. He said, no, I'm the boss. I'm the boss. You can't tell me what to do with my money. Eh? And I'm not taking it out. By the way, how he found out you got a raise? I say, I told him because we worked together. He says, work together? Yeah? I wanted you to have that. But I was so happy that I got this raise.
I begged him. I tell you honestly, I begged him. I said, please, Richie, take it out. He says, no. You could talk till the cows come home. I'm not taking it out. So he says, well, if you tell me to raise Lupe, I'll raise it. I say, well, you want to raise it? He say, okay, I gave him a raise, but don't let it happen again. Hey, God can do with his what he wants. But when God wants to bring us into blessing, no, my boss give me and didn't give him. But God is giving all of us together. No one will be dissatisfied. But when we're in that upper room and we come to remember him, remember who is the host and who is the guest and who has prepared the meal. Brethren, 2 minutes and finish. One, do you know in that upper room we have his body and his blood? And the blood, he says, is the blood of the new covenant. You read in scripture 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and see about this new covenant. We are in the spirit of it. We have come into the blessings of it. And it was celebrated there in the upper room. Brethren, we have so much and we enjoy so little. May God give us the appetite to follow the man with the pitcher. Refreshment. Where is the guest chamber? Up there. You get up there, everything is prepared. And you as a guest has been called. That's why I say, you know, don't take too long. I beg young men, beg young sisters, don't take too long to respond to the Lord's request. This do in remembrance of me. You don't have to go to college for that. You don't have to have a BA, a PhD. You don't have your name. Don't have to be in lights. All you have to do is respond to the dying request of the Lord. This do in remembrance of me. And come up and enjoy this time with him. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Amen.